Yeah, it's called polite applause, isn't it? It's the rapturous kind, but I'm preaching on humility this morning, so... There are so many jokes that you can make about preaching about humility. And I've decided not to use any of them. Yes. Sorry, just getting myself sorted out here. The Bible on the floor. So, we're doing a series. It's called Pilgrims Together. I brought my stick. Who remembers the stick last time? Anyone? Oh, great. A few people do. And the stick is to remind us that this series is from some of the Psalms in the kind of early hundreds called the Psalms of Ascents. And they were traditionally associated with Jewish pilgrims going up to Jerusalem on pilgrimage, which happened for a devout Jew three times a year. And the idea would be that they shared these songs, these poems together, they talked them to one another, and that it was a reminder as they walked and talked day by day, it was a reminder of who they were as a people and what they did, what they were about. And so they talked, I imagine, and this is kind of inspired by a book I read, but they talked together and shared together about what it was like to walk with God day by day. What were the challenges and the things that we learned about being a disciple and someone who lived with God and was one of God's people day by day? So what are the things that we do? What are the things that we believe? What are the things that we trust in? And they weren't necessarily telling each other, well, let's take the example of today's subject, humility. You need to be more humble. You're not humble enough, or anything like that. They were just saying, do you know, one of the important things for us as God's people is that we need to be humble. So let's just remind ourselves what humility is. Let's just remind ourselves that it's a really important aspect of being God's people, being humble. And just like Anne shared a couple of weeks ago, about security, they shared these songs together. So Anne used the song about that speaks about as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so God surrounds and gives security to his people. And this psalm that we're looking at together is one of the shortest. It's one of the shortest chapters in the Bible. I'm sure you're hoping that that will connect with the length of the sermon. But we'll see about that, because you probably have as much idea as I do about how long this is going to take. If you've got a Bible, and you can go to Psalm 131, or you can scroll to Psalm 101, or whatever you do with an electronic Bible. And it is a Psalm of David. Probably written by King David, one of the heroes of the Old Testament. Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. So we're using this psalm as a kind of springboard. I'm not going to expound the psalm and find lots and lots of all the individual truths in the words of the psalm itself, but we're using it as a springboard to say, what is humility? What images might we associate with humility? What people might we consider are humble? I won't make any judgments about that at all. And they're not, yeah, okay, I'm not. But I want to provoke our thinking this morning, because humility might not be exactly what some of us think it is, and as I've kind of looked into it biblically, it's got me thinking as well. What is humility and what isn't humility? It's really interesting looking at the psalm to see that the first verse seems to help us by telling us what it isn't. By the end of the first verse, we've had three negatives. My heart isn't proud, my eyes aren't haughty, and I don't get associated with things that are above me or too great for me. So there are three negatives straight away. And then what is it? And it goes into this lovely and really interesting and quite unusual illustration about a weaned child, about being I've calmed and quieted myself, about a sort of feeling of satisfaction and contentment and security. So let's have a little look first at what humility isn't. My heart is not proud. And there's loads and loads of stuff, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, about pride being the opposite of humility. Proverbs 3 and verse 34 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that verse from Proverbs is actually quoted in, I think it's in the book of James. Jesus, in his teaching, said in Matthew 23:12, he said, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So pride and humility are clearly opposites. My heart is not proud. I want to be a humble person. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. And it's interesting that Proverbs talks about the pride of the eyes. Isn't that an interesting statement? The pride of the eyes. And we could interpret that in a number of ways. It speaks to me of the way that I look at other people, the way I perceive other people, the kind of attitude, if you like, that I have to other people. Do I feel superior? They're not good at that. They don't do things in the right way. I'm clean and they're dirty. I'm intelligent and they're not clever. Or whatever those many divisions might be, those might seem quite sharp, but I am sure when we look into our own hearts, if you're even a tiny bit like me, I will know even day to day, I'm constantly catching myself thinking or taking potentially a negative attitude towards someone else. And that's the opposite of humility. That's the opposite of humility. A lot of Paul's letters talk again and again about having the right attitude to one another, having the right conduct towards one another. That's the haughty eyes. And I don't concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. To me, that really talks about arrogance, that sense of pride and arrogance or superiority, of being overambitious and wanting to be something different, wanting to be something more special. And this is something that our whole culture drives us to constantly now, doesn't it? You only have to look at almost anything in terms of social media influence, in terms of a lot of what I will call rubbish television, anything, stuff that you might view on YouTube and so on, and vast amounts of it are orientated towards making sure that you feel better than other people, that you feel superior to other people, that you have a higher count, whether it's a higher number of likes for your Facebook posts or whether it's a higher standard of makeup that you have put on to differentiate yourself from other people. And humility is not that. Humility is saying, I don't aspire to push and pull and manipulate myself into an artificially high or exalted or different position. Humility is saying, thank you for where I am, thank you for who I am, that is what I will embrace. But let me just issue a little warning at this point, and I'll come back to it right at the end, and that is, we must not also think too lowly of ourselves. God has put a calling on every one of us as an individual. And it is, I believe, as much of a sin to position ourselves and to say no to things and to take an attitude about ourselves that is what you might call self-deprecating. It's putting ourselves down. That is just as much a sin as lifting ourselves up. We need to learn how to be ourselves in Christ. That's humility. It's not about groveling. And the final isn't that I want to just mention is, it is that it isn't, it's not about being humiliated. Humiliated is what other people do to you. Humiliated, I couldn't resist this. My friend Keith's here today and he's a Liverpool supporter. So even though Aid's not in the room, and he's going to listen to this later, humility is what happened to Liverpool Football Club yesterday when after 44 successive Premier League games without losing, they went down 3-0 to a bottom of the table team. Alternatively, humiliated is what happened to a number of us on Friday night at the King's Church World Darts Championships as other people threw treble tops and all that sort of stuff, and we were just praying that the dart would hit the board. There was a bit of what's called banter, which might be quite close to humiliation. Let's talk about what humility is. Really interesting. I looked up this word, and in general use in language at the time of writing the Bible, in general use, it can mean all sorts of really ordinary things. I did a trip to Holland recently, and the land in Holland is humble in terms of Greek. It's low. It's low-lying. It's humble land. So things like, we'd say menial for a menial task, but also poor if you don't have much money, lowly, meek. These are all words that come from this same word that we get humble from. But let's think about it and look about it in terms of what it means in terms of godly character. And in godly character, I think a beautiful phrase that sums it up is being confident in God and not in ourselves. Having a calm confidence and a quiet strength that is found in God. And on this next slide, it's summarized with these two words. Pride is confidence in ourselves. Humility is confidence in God. Pride is the attitude that comes from the world. It's not something that arrived with social media and television. Pride has existed since the Garden of Eden. And pride as a sin and pride as the opposite of humility is a theme that runs right through Old Testament and New Testament very, very consistently. It's when we decide to put our confidence in ourselves and what we can achieve. And so it leads to all those weaknesses and all those kind of fault lines in our lives that build up as we start to trust in our own ability, or we start to get anxious whether we are good enough, whether we have got the goods to deliver, whether I can get it all together enough to be this person that I'm trying to be. And that's why so many people in worldly terms stress out trying to do that. In terms of godly humility, we put our confidence in God and we get our value and our self-worth from being children of God, forgiven, with all those stresses and pressures that come with pride, wiped away, and able to live in freedom. If we know who we are in Christ, then we can walk in humility and we can be humble believers. I was talking this over with Aid, just talking the sort of general subject over and what I was planning to preach on a couple of weeks ago in Costa, and he reminded me of a passage from the New Testament that gives us such a brilliant summary of what I've just said. And it's in John 13. This is the account of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Can you see that I've put the word so in red? This is amazing. It's saying, basically, Jesus knew that he was God's son. Jesus, standing there in human form, knew that it was him who had spoken the word at the beginning of what we call time and spoken the universe into being. Jesus, that man standing right there, knew that he was the one who'd been sent from the Father to bring salvation to the whole human race. He knew all those things. So what did he do? So, he got down on his hands and knees and started washing the feet of his disciples. He was so secure. He was so at peace and comfortable, if you like, with who he was. He knew that so much, he was able to take that, take that incredibly almost servile, serving attitude to his disciples, blowing their minds completely. You know, Peter ends up saying, you can't do this. You're not going to do me, Lord. And it was because he knew who he was. He knew who he was, and he could point a finger at the Pharisees and cut right through their hypocrisy with incredible authority, quoting the scripture. And with that same security, he could hand himself over to be arrested and whipped and crucified. But with that same security about who he was, he could also just get on his knees and wash the disciples' feet. It's brilliant. Humility comes from being at peace with God and at peace with ourselves. And it does. It leads to a contentment and a peace that is reflected in this psalm. There's a whole verse. It says, I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. We've got a child here with its mother. That child is content. That child has been weaned. They're no longer dependent on mother's milk. The child's attitude to the mum, I don't know if this is a set-up photograph, but go with me. The child's attitude to its mum is not, give me chocolate. It's not, I'm dependent on you, give me milk, and I'll cry until you do, or anything like that. The child's attitude is, that's my mum. I can't think of a safer, more secure place in all of the world than to be snuggled up to my mum. Isn't that beautiful? Like a weaned child with its mother is my soul within me. Just absorb the image. Now, what I'm going to do for the next few minutes through to finishing, you might be glad to know, I think we're ahead of schedule, is I want to look at a number of scriptures from the New Testament which not only tell us a little bit about humility as a characteristic, but also that give us something of an insight into God's heart, because I really do believe that humility, there's something particular and special about this quality, because it's in God's very heart and it's in the very nature of Jesus Christ. So the first verse is one that will probably be familiar to you. This one is from Philippians chapter 2. And forgive me if it feels like I'm taking some of these a bit out of context, but I want to accumulate about 6 or 8 different verses from different parts of the New Testament. So I'm going to career through them quite quickly. Philippians 2. Christ Jesus, who being in his very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but he humbled himself. Our own Lord Jesus humbled himself. Think of that word as being low down. He came down. He emptied himself. If you look into that passage a bit more, there's some amazing, beautiful language about how God himself humbled himself. Can you get your brain around that? God himself humbled himself? That's really challenging, isn't it? That's why I'm saying this is close to the heart of God. You'll sometimes hear criticism of the trite little phrase, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. I'd just like you to know that Jesus was gentle. Jesus was gentle. In Matthew 11, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Isn't that an incredible reflection of Psalm 131? Do you want to know how to end up like the weaned child resting with its mum? Is my soul within me? How you'll find rest for your souls? Share my yoke. Get in the yoke with me. Share that burden together, because I'm gentle and I'm humble. Jesus himself said these words, the next verse from from Matthew 23. I've quoted it already. "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And I think there's, in terms of studying God's word, if you find a passage that's in the Old Testament, but that is then quoted in the New Testament, that gives it some extra weight, doesn't it, in terms of what we can learn from it. And that is a case of that. That's a psalm. That's a verse from Proverbs, I think. Excuse me. Should have written that down and I didn't. Next one is from 1 Corinthians. So this time, this isn't Paul. This isn't Jesus writing. This is Paul. And he says, "God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." This is from the very beginning of 1 Corinthians. It's from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And there's a whole longer passage there where Paul, in actually talking about himself and the way they preached the gospel in Corinth originally, he talks about the fact that we didn't come in strength, we didn't come in cleverness, we didn't come in intelligence. If you look wider into Paul writing in this book, you'll see he uses that phrase, jars of clay. We weren't fancy, highly polished, beautiful vessels. We're just ordinary people. But that's who God has chosen to use. Our humble God chooses to use humble people to fulfill his purposes. And the weak things of this to shame the strong. The foolish things of this to shame the wise. And he's using foolish in inverted commas there. It is not truly foolish, but in worldly thinking, it sometimes seems that way. In 2 Corinthians, Paul actually uses the phrase, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Isn't it interesting? He is, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He's wanting to get a response from the church in Corinth. And he doesn't say something like, speaking with the authority of an apostle, I command you to do this, or even I ask you to do this. He doesn't even say, by the power and the might and the authority of Jesus Christ. He says, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. When he's needing something that's a strong way of reaching out and saying, guys, I need you to do this, he goes to the humility and the gentleness of Christ. Now, and don't change the verse for a minute, because it might slightly give it away. In fact, you'll probably guess it anyway. But this was a little bit of a revelation for me. Looking at the Sermon on the Mount, what is the very first part of the Sermon on the Mount? Is it seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because that's kingdom teaching and it's brilliant. Is it this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven? Because that's the disciples' prayer that we hear so much about and that is so important. Is it one of those amazing bits of teaching from over those three chapters? What are the opening words of the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah. Blessed. I've got a summary here. Blessed are, and in Matthew, it will say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke says, blessed are you poor. Blessed are you poor. But it goes on, doesn't it? It talks about the meek, people who've been bereaved, people who are merciful, people who are persecuted. I feel like if Jesus was preaching that sermon here today, so I'll do it for him, he'd say, blessed are the refugees. Blessed are the refugees. And because this is what I mean about it being close to God's heart. I don't really get it. I'm not sure I can express it, but God's just somehow biased towards people who are humble and people who have been humbled and people who maybe can't help themselves. So I'm not talking just about the kind of humility that we should have as believers, just living that life of confidence in Christ that doesn't get puffed up. But God has a heart for humble people. God has a heart and a love and a compassion for the downtrodden, that somehow he doesn't have that for the rich and the arrogant. Now, we know he loves everyone. But maybe there's just something about the meek and the poor and the bereaved and the merciful and the persecuted that they know that they need God. They know their own need. Maybe that's why it is. So here's my conclusion. And an action point, if you like, a couple of action points. Let's say yes to being confident in God. Let's say yes to boasting in God. And let's say no to being confident in ourselves. But also, let's say no to false humility. Let's say no to the attitude that says, oh, I couldn't possibly do that because I'm not good enough. Let's take hold of all that God has called us to be, all we are in Jesus Christ, and not fall short of fulfilling everything he's called us to. That's humility. Let's remember that miracle-working, Pharisee-slaying, foot-washing Jesus was humble. So let's deal with this image that says it's about being quiet or servile or some sort of Dickensian, your humble servant sort of horrible attitude, because it's not. It's being having such a confidence in Christ and who we are that we can we can fulfill all that God calls us to do. I'd like to finish with this. Mandy, when we were praying before the meeting, had a not very nice picture, had a picture of roadkill. An animal that's been squashed on the road and left for dead, or left very dead. And maybe some of us this morning feel like roadkill, or we feel tempted to feel like roadkill. Left behind, abandoned, squashed, humiliated by other people. You are not roadkill. You are not roadkill, and neither am I. I am a child of the God of the universe. I am a human being who is fulfilling all of the purpose that they were called to be. I'm not going to fall short. I'm going to enter into everything that God made me to be. I'm living in a world where people are failing to achieve that because of sin and because they haven't seen the light of Jesus Christ and received his forgiveness. But I have, and you have. We are not roadkill, and we are not ever so humble people groveling along the ground like worms. No, we are people who are called to a very high calling and can find joy and peace and comfort and rest for our souls day in, day out. That's humility. Amen. Shall I pray? Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for this calling. Thank you that you love the humble. We want to be those who are humble and who love the humble, Lord. Help us to achieve both of those. Help us to fulfill both of those. We pray for ourselves. I pray for myself. We pray for each other. I pray a blessing, Lord, on every single individual here, that you would refresh us with your Spirit, remind us of these truths, and enable us to live out our full calling in you. Not too high, not too low, but the people that you've called us to be. Amen.